Guys, real quick before the intro gets going, I want to remind you that this is a free podcast. It's one of the things that I love about it. I love making it free, available to everyone. That's one of the great things we can all agree about podcasting. It does take time, energy, and the work of people aside from me to get it done. As you know, I have never really worked with a sponsor before, but I do have a sponsor that I want to give a shout out to in this episode. It is HostGator. I know that probably you think to yourself, that must mean a company that specializes in hosting alligators. Let me correct you right now. It's actually the best place to get a website. They offer premium web hosting at low costs. Grab a .net. It's the best way to get a killer domain name that's not 180 characters. These guys are available 24/7, 365 days a year. You can chat. You can do email support. They offer hosting for any size site with shared VPS and dedicated servers. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know what any of that means because I'm super unweb savvy. Perhaps these are the people who can come in, clear that up, and help you out on your way, because I'm not going to be the person to design your site, guys. I think we all know that based on my total lack of technological savvy. They can move the site for you if you want to transfer. And if you head over to HostGator.com, you buy some hosting, get some .NETs, and use the coupon code JVClub to get an extra 30% off and support the show. Again, I do need to acknowledge them as sponsors because they are making it possible for me to get t-shirts made, get some production costs for the podcast covered, and hopefully hook you guys up with some websites. So thanks to HostGator, and thanks you guys for listening to that. Here comes the intro right now. Hey guys, welcome to episode 80 of the JV Club with, oh gosh, a guest that I'm so excited to announce. I see that like you don't already know who it is, but I'm so happy that Kate and I finally found a time to podcast together. We've been talking about it forever. Is there a single guest that I haven't said that about? Schedules. As you can probably hear from my voice, I do have a cold, a little bit of a summer cold. When I got sick, I thought, where did this come from? And then the second I got sick, everyone was like, oh yeah, you got the thing that everyone has. So I want to say, dear, dear listeners, I hope you do not have self-same summer cold. I want to quickly just acknowledge that, and this is something that I don't even with this on Twitter asked about. Yes, I did say I was going to be doing the podcast live at the Benson Ball in Washington, D.C. That is the comedy festival that Tig Notaro curates. I will be there doing improv. I was going to do my podcast, but unfortunately, I now have to work in New York for part of that festival. So I'm going to be rushing from New York straight to do the improv show that night. And it just didn't seem to leave any room to do the podcast live. So that's what happened with that. But I'm going to be retweeting some Benson Ball details on our improv show shortly. So hopefully that answers that. I want to give some shout outs via email to Andrew R., Rosalia, and Grant. On Facebook, Claire. On the Jillian Nerdist page, Nicole. Yeah, I'll see if I can cough up a picture of my dad to put on Pinterest. If he's okay with the sacrificing his anonymity. I'm sure he's going to be mobbed in the streets by people. PJ really lit into me on his feedback in this on the Jillian page. Not a fan of the Disneyland rides question, and also accused me of not having a great French accent. So thanks a lot for that, PJ. My heart is broken. Ian, Amy, and Sean, thanks for your feedback. Ellie, oh right, the song at the end of Maggie's episode. You know, we talk about it in the episode. For sure, it's named, and I'm so sorry that I don't have time to pull that up, but I'll try to email it to you, or you know, put that on the Nerdist page. But it's definitely mentioned in the episode because it's her friend's band. What else did I want to quickly say? Amy, Michelle, and Alec, thanks for your feedback on Jillian's Nerdist page. Caitlin, thank you for the hilarious husky playing in the leaves video on Twitter. Hilarious, loved it. And my Twitter wouldn't load past a certain amount of tweets, so that is all I have for Twitter this time. Please enjoy this episode. I'm very confident that you will, as Kate Micucci could not be a more delightful human being. You probably already know that. You're probably a fan of Garfunkel and Oates. If you're not, you need be immediatamente. Enjoy the episode, and I'm going to go rasp my way through the rest of the day with this cold. Take care, guys.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
All right, if you are distracted by the sounds of my dog gnawing on an antler, I apologize.
Is that an actual antler?
I think it is an actual antler because they shed the antler, you know, the deer, they shed the antlers, the elks, they shed the antlers. And I think there's like the remainder of marrow inside.
Oh, yeah.
So dogs love chewing on antlers and it's like a natural, like a good natural thing for their teeth somehow and for their, I don't really know.
This isn't something that like came from the yard randomly, right? This
no, like, it didn't. Okay. I didn't like pluck it. I didn't tear it off of a like some sort of a steer anywhere.
On my way here, I saw a steer with only one antler. I thought, no.
Well, let's just say that's a coincidence. This is a really weird coincidence because this is definitely a store bought antler. Oh, God. Kate, thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
We've been talking about it since the inception of this podcast.
How long is that? How many
like
years?
Like a year and a half.
A year and a half. Okay. I'm so a year and a half we've been talking about doing this.
Comfortable year and a half. Yeah.
Here we are.
And it was, as it often tends to be in this crazy Los Angeles world of ours, it does become this kind of last minute-y, like, wait, I could do, you could do, we could, I'll see you there. Like,
and that's
the
kind of what happened
comes
today.
Unplanned, yeah. And so we've made it here together, and I'm just delighted.
I'm so glad. Thank you for having me here.
Is that a Keith Haring t-shirt?
It is a Keith Haring t-shirt.
Do you have strong feelings about Keith Haring?
I have great feelings. I love all of his work. I actually, I was staying at the Standard in New York about 3 years ago, and they have all these art documentaries that they play on the TV, and the Keith Haring one was like on a loop. And I knew of him, and I'd studied him in school.
Yeah.
But then watching that documentary a few times over the course of like 2 days,
bits and pieces and fits and starts.
I was pretty obsessed, and I have like,
I don't think
you know,
I've seen his documentary.
I, you know what? And I wish I could tell you the name of it, but names don't stick with me. It's real good though.
So okay, let's back up to you saying that you studied him in school. So did you like? Do you mean in a? Because I feel like I took some very basic art history classes, but did you study extensively?
Yeah, I minored in art history, so
that's so cool.
I majored in art, and so yeah, I mean, I you know, along the way studied him and a bunch of other people that. You know, information often doesn't stick in my brain. So I was really, really good about learning my art history. I couldn't really tell you a lot about it now.
Right.
I would go.
I'm not going to grill you on artist by artist. But.
I was kind of obsessive, though. Like I was very much like a straight A student. And so in college, we would do these really crazy art history tests where we'd have to remember names and, you know, all different things about the paintings. And I would go and I'd study like 2 hours a day, just like in the library with slides. You know, this is kind of before the internet. I'm very, very old.
Oh,
I'm,
listen,
no, I'm not. It doesn't make
internet
me sound really.
Internet.
I mean, the internet was around, but not enough to have like classes on the internet yet.
Yeah.
And so I would go and I would draw each slide on note cards, and then I would grill myself with the note cards. And I got straight A's, but I also like made myself crazy. You know.
But the what do I want to say about this? First of all, was it something that you felt passion for? Because the difference between that, right, that hunger for actually being interested in what you're studying versus feeling like it's obligatory and that kind of studying is just like the energy is so different in those two things.
Yeah, I think art history was maybe where both of those things met for me because like I, with my painting classes, like no doubt I could just paint all day. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I would just stay up till 4 a.m. painting and I'd be so happy. I had my routine. This is when I went to an art school in Pennsylvania, a 2-year art school called Keystone College, a really tiny but awesome school. And I was like kind of a hermit. I didn't go out. I remember being invited to a party, but I didn't go. And I was very slow. So like slow in the sense that like I did not date, even though I was in college. I had a train set up in my dorm room.
And you still have trains.
I do. I have a new train
set. I know
that
you just sent a picture.
Oh yeah, that's right. On my Instagram.
Yeah.
Nobody was in the park. I have to buy people for my train set because it's a very lonely land.
I got to quickly tell you this.
Okay.
I did work at a place I perhaps mentioned on the podcast before. When I lived in Flagstaff, Arizona, I had two jobs when I was in college. working at a bead store where I like made hippie jewelry.
Awesome.
And working at a place called Grand Canyon Railway, which sold tickets to this railway to like that would take you up to the Grand Canyon. But they also sold model trains. And I have extensive experience with model trains and miniatures in general. And I'm a huge fan of that stuff. And I will totally play trains with you.
Really?
Anytime. And my dad has trains. Oh. My dad has a Lucite track in his back room. So it's clear. So you don't even really see it. And that just the trains just like go around and they seem to kind of float. It's so cool.
I would love to see that. That sounds awesome. I've never even heard of like invisible track. It's like fancy.
I mean, it's visible in the sense that it's still Lucite, but it's like totally clear. Yeah. So it's really cool. You can see the underside of the train and it's like up high. It's really cool.
That was always like my dream when I was a kid, was like I was going to be like successful enough to have a studio apartment in New York City with a train that ran around the edges of the apartment. That was like what I wanted. I mean, I still would want that. I have a Z scale, which is the tiniest of scales, I'm sure you know. So the people are super tiny. Yeah. So I'm thinking about getting like N scale people to put in the Z scale train so you can at least see what they're doing.
But will it seem like they're weird giant people? Yeah.
Maybe.
But in a fun way.
Yes. It is amazing. I don't know if you've like seen the different kinds of like things. Like they have like some pretty crazy situations going on with little miniature people.
I need to be visiting with this more.
I just bought on eBay. I bought 12 swimmers just to put in my river because I was like, that'll be fun.
I need to see as many pictures in detail as possible.
I'm sure it's going to be like an Instagram thing once
that's great.
But yeah, I feel like there are, you know, you can have like robberies happen or dirty things. I won't mention.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's got to catch up with everything else. I wonder if that was always true. If like you could, even in the old days when people had train sets, if there were like women with their petticoats like exposed or whatever the version was, it was like raw.
It wouldn't surprise me because I feel like those guys that are like, you know, spending 12 hours a day working on their very, you know, detailed train sets, they probably are putting in some. I actually saw that once. It was really amazing. My dad and my brother and I were in my hometown and we went to a train show and I looked inside the hotel window and there was a threesome happening and I was like, oh my god, look at this. It was amazing.
So amazing.
Yeah.
I love little discoveries like that. You know what it almost feels like to me? It almost feels like it's like the olden times Grand Theft Auto.
Yes, that's a good way to put it.
People spend so much time in these video games that like all of these tiny nuances exist and they're just as complex as a real city and like all the little Easter eggs that you can find if you spend enough time doing it, it's like
that's
sort of the physical, intangible version of that.
They're like little, like, yeah, Easter eggs, perfect way to put it. The funny thing is I said to my brother, look, there's a threesome happening. And then the man whose section of the train, that he was standing there and he turned bright red.
He's the one who put it
in
there.
Yeah, he was the one. I know, but I don't think he thought people would look.
He secretly gets off on people seeing his tiny people having a threesome. So that's why he threw that in there, which
Such
is crazy.
Tiny, tiny people.
Okay, so you had trains in college. Let's pop back to high school then for a second because you didn't date in college. So I assume that you also didn't date in high school. Tell me about what you were like in high school and where were you?
I grew up in New Jersey first, and then when I was 8, we moved to Pennsylvania, and Nazareth, Pennsylvania, and it's a pretty small town, and I was, like, just always in my own world, but, like, happily in my own world. Like, my parents would be like, can you please have a friend over? Like, I didn't have friends over. I remember my dad, they would bribe me with money to have a friend over or go to, like, the school dance. Not a lot. Like, you know, we'll give you $5 if you go to the school dance.
$200. Yeah.
So I was just, like, so happy drawing and, like, playing music.
And you're an only child?
No, I have a brother. And, like,
did you say that already?
No, I didn't. I said it like, I have a brother. Like, yeah,
no, I have a brother, Janet. You know that.
Okay, you know my brother. Good. Actually, my brother lives here in LA, which is really nice. And he's a woodworker, and he makes kazoos.
Hey, now.
He works at Nick Offerman's wood shop.
Sounds like someone Mike Furman needs to know. Do they know each other?
No, I don't think that would be
a really nice friendship right there.
It's funny because my brother Matt and his roommate Dave, I feel like Dave and Mike, I keep telling Mike this, they should be friends. So I have to make that happen. I need to have a party.
What if you dropped everything and became a friend matchmaker for a living?
That would be a pretty good job. If I had to drop, I don't know if I'd be great at it. I've only done one like matchmaking thing where it worked for like a little while
as a real couple.
Yeah,
thing?
As a real couple, and then it didn't work, and then I felt bad. but you can't really.
I know.
You do what you can, I guess.
You do what you can. Okay, so you just loved being by yourself.
Yes.
And living inside your imagination.
And I feel like I'm still sort of that way. But I was like a happy loner. I played piano. My mom really kind of forced my brother and I to play classical piano, and we would compete. That was a very big part of my growing up, was that. And my mom's a piano teacher, but she wouldn't teach my brother and I, because that would be too intense, I think.
Did you feel this? Were you competitive, or were you sort of just there doing what you were supposed to be doing in the competition, but not feeling that fierceness that some people feel?
Yeah, I was, I think, a little bit. I love contests. Like, in fact, in high school, I was obsessed with radio contests. Like, I would call in. We had two lines at our house, which I thought was really cool. And so I'd have two phones going and trying to call in at the same time. And I had my system of like how I was going, and I would win, and I'd win so often that they would be like, wait, is this Kate Micucci? I'm sorry, you won 30 days ago. You have to wait a certain amount of time before you can win again.
And what were you winning?
Oh, like, well, okay. Like, usually things like tickets to something, but I won Billy Joel tickets once, which was huge.
That is huge.
Yeah, I cried. It was so great. And then I won a certificate for sausages. And
a sausage certificate.
Yeah, but then get this. I won $1,000. And we wanted to buy a dog because our dog had passed away, and we wanted to get a new dog. And with that $1,000, we bought our dog. I mean, he wasn't a $1,000 dog, but, you know, you got to buy it.
Fancy.
Everything else, you know.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we got Jack. He lived for 16 years. But yeah, so...
That's amazing. Yeah. You have a dog that was the direct result of winning a radio contest.
Yes. And it was a crazy story. I've told the story on stage, but basically you had to guess a little... You'd hear a little tiny clip of a voice, and you'd have to guess who it was. And it was like a really quick, like... And these usually would go on for weeks, sometimes months. They would play this clip, and people would call in and be like, nope, 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 for a long time. Nobody would know. So somebody had won the day before. So this was a brand new clip.
Okay.
I was home really, really sick with a fever. Like, terrible. You know, like, where you can't lift your head off the pillow.
Which, by the way, as an adult, I never get sick the way I used to as a kid.
Like, I know.
Even if it's, like, the flu.
Knock on wood.
Knock wood.
Yeah.
Somehow that sickness of, like, being a kid and the fever and the sweat and the...
Yeah, it doesn't really happen like that anymore, thankfully. Goodness. I know. But it's, you know, my mom was there taking care of me, and I hear this voice, and I put my head to the radio, and I just knew it was Stockard Channing. And I was like, Mom, call the radio. It's Stockard Channing. And she's like, really? And like, my mom was like real nervous. She's like, you're sure? I'm like, yeah, Stockard Channing. And I don't know. The only thing I knew about Stockard Channing was I had seen Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar.
Uh-huh.
I didn't even know her from Grease at that point, because I hadn't seen Grease. That's crazy. But so my mom calls in, and she gets through, which also is crazy. And she's really nervous. And they said, who is it? What's the voice? And my mom was like, it's Stockard Channing. And just silence for a second. And the guy's like, how the heck did you know that? And she's like, well, my daughter has a fever, and she put her head to the radio, and she just had a feeling it was Stockard Channing. And he's like, you just won $1,000. And like, we were
that
so excited.
Is so
yeah,
awesome.
It was crazy.
Well, was it a clip from Tu Wong Fu?
No, it was just like, I don't even know what the, it was literally like 3 seconds of a sentence.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It was meant to be.
It was meant to be. And then we bought Jack.
You were meant to have Jack. What kind of dog was Jack?
He was a Bichon. He was a great dog. He played the piano. You would hold him up, and he would just sit there, and he would move his hands and play the piano. It was amazing.
Okay, but that's maybe the cutest thing ever.
Coming from a house with piano players. he was a great, great dog. I have many songs that I wrote about him, which I now can no longer play.
Oh.
Like, because I'll just lose it.
Oh, no. Yeah. So you were songwriting from way back when, huh?
Well, really, I started writing... I was always writing little songs here and there, but in college, I started, like, really writing. But my first song ever that I wrote was called Betsy the Cow. And I was about 15, and it was a snow day, so I had my snowsuit on that my mom had bought at the grocery store. Because, you know, isn't it weird when grocery stores sell, like, things that aren't... You know, like here's a leather jacket that you can buy at Ralph's,
like,
you know?
Thermal underwear, thermal underwear,
Like, it's weird when they always have...
To get the snowsuit.
Yeah, I had a snowsuit from the grocery store. And I was wearing the snowsuit, I remember it very vividly, and I had my electric guitar, because... That was cool. And I just wrote the song Betsy the Cow about this cow that's going to turn into a hamburger.
Oh, no.
And I thought it was really funny.
How old were you?
I was like 15. That's my brother really played good. The drums. It was,
So you both started out on competitive classical piano.
Yeah, yeah.
How then, when did you pick up the guitar and when did he pick up the drums?
We were pretty young. I think we were just interested in playing something that seemed cool, you know, and I would always, my grandma had a guitar at her house, so I'd always kind of pick it up and like try to teach myself. And I mean, I'm still just kind of a hack when it comes to playing guitar, but I get by. And yeah, so we would just jam. We had in the basement, we had what we called the music room. And
that's so cool. Yeah. Did your dad, were your parents together the whole time?
Yeah, yeah. My parents are still married. My dad's really cool. Like he would always make us toys, like wooden toys. And so like,
it's funny. And your brother's a woodworker.
I know. Go figure. But yeah. And so like I remember, speaking of snow days, like he made us a sled for our G.I. Joes. Oh. So like, yeah. So it was really cool. But like, yeah, my dad's really creative. Like our house before Halloween, like now Halloween, you can buy like so many things to decorate a yard.
Yeah.
But before that was like the thing, my dad would decorate our yard with like these simple machines. He would have like,
oh my
like a hand that came out of the yard.
Holy smokes. Yeah, it was cool. Super cool.
So he's very creative.
What was his day job?
He's an electrician.
Okay.
So yeah, my mom's a piano teacher.
I could not love more that he like used his skills for good,
yeah,
in the world.
And kids would be scared to come over because like the hand was coming out of the air, you know, like
so great though.
That was
yeah. I have friends who still, I mean, they really don't mess around every Halloween, like to create this amazing scenario with like to scare all the trick-or-treaters, and it's like the most popular house on the block, and they are very serious about it.
It's crazy. In LA, like I feel like there are certain streets you just know, like they are, the houses are really competitive.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they do a whole Halloween walk. It's an organized walk in
neighborhood.
They close down some of the streets. All the kids like get organized. It sort of starts in a certain area, and then parents are supervising. They have people, parents kind of volunteer to station themselves along the way, and it's a very organized time. So it's like, you know, 6 to 8:30 or whatever it is. And it's like, they mean business, and I feel the pressure of like, I really gotta, you know.
Do you decorate?
I do decorate. I mean, I do usually like black and orange lights, and I do, you know, sometimes I'll blow up like a thing and make a ghost. And yeah, but I don't like buying stuff from the store either. I like kind of figuring out how to make something from what I have. And then I do try to dress up, and then I usually open up my garage door and just kind of do it from my garage, because my walkway is like kind of hard to navigate. It's like it becomes a weird single file line where kids can't even really pass each other on their way back. So it makes more sense to kind of do it out of the driveway.
Wow. So it's like super,
it's
crowded.
A lot
and
of people. Like I always run out of candy, and I buy more candy than I ever think I need. I'm like, I'm not going to need all this. Always run out.
It's so fun though. Like, because I always feel bad for the houses where they're all ready for the kids and they have like, you know, tons of stuff and then nobody shows up. So
yeah, that I do not, I will never ever have to worry about that here. I will never have to worry about that in this neighborhood. Did your parents like dress up for Halloween and stuff? Did they engage themselves in a childlike manner in that way too?
No, I don't, they never did. But we would always have really cool costumes. My dad would like, you know, help to make, you know, like the best thing that I ever was a spaghetti table, which I've, you know, you've probably seen them, you know, where it's like, I've definitely seen this in like, you know, kids do it.
I don't know if I've seen it.
Where you like have a board and you're like, your head is sticking out of the board, and then there's like spaghetti hair, and then like it's an Italian tablecloth. And
I have never seen this.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I later, when I moved to LA and after graduating college, I babysat for a living. And so I made the same costume for the little girl I was babysitting for. And I put Italian music, and I put a little like tape recorder playing Italian music. And she was like the hit of the street.
Oh,
and I was so proud.
So wait, does your face go on the plate, and then on top of your head is the spaghetti?
Spaghetti,
so it's
pretty balls.
It's pretty gruesome.
Yeah, like you might be eaten. And then like, you know, a little rose maybe with the, you know.
This
and
is gorgeous. Do you have pictures of this?
I do. I definitely do. In fact, I'll have my mom.
Yeah, have send her send me, yeah, over, because that's the real McCoy right there. I don't think I ever.
That was by far my favorite costume.
Oh, that's a really good one.
But yeah, and then we used to do Mischief Night, which is not really a thing out here, but on the East Coast it is, you know?
What's Mischief Night?
The night before Halloween, you go and you just like cause mischief and like,
never,
you know,
heard of
cause
that
mischief.
Either.
Is that even the right thing?
Yeah, but like, you caused some mischief, sure.
But it's like you toilet paper people's houses. Ooh. And, you know, silly string and eggs and, you know, more like some people would like put toothpaste on cars, and that like ruins a car. That's a bad idea. But, and now I'm giving people bad ideas. But
that's what this podcast is really all about, trying to hurt others.
But the best thing was in New Jersey, our next door neighbors had just moved moved from India. They were brand new. And so they, we were toilet papering their house. I was like seven. I was my brother and my dad. And you know, it's
your
really
dad
innocent.
Did it.
Oh yeah, totally. Oh, my
man,
dad would
oh,
take.
Man. My dad would never.
And then they looked outside and they're like, "What are you doing?" And we're like, "Oh, it's a tradition. You know, we for the day before Halloween, you toilet paper, you know, houses." And they came out and they helped us and they toilet papered their own house.
Wait, this is not how I think of TPing. I think of TPing as being a mean prank you play on something that you hate.
That's, I mean, yeah, it wasn't so much. It was just like, you know, fun. Yeah. I don't think we didn't hate them or anything. They were very nice, actually.
But then they had to clean up all the toilet paper.
Yeah, they
themselves.
Left it for a long time. They thought it was like cool. So.
Well, that certainly helps.
Yeah.
Did you call it TPing? Or rolling?
We call it toilet papering, toilet but that's papering. The long way to
we
say
said,
it.
We said TPing, and I bring that up because I was joking. I was talking to April Richardson, who's done the podcast, and she is like, she's a little bit like street anyway, which is hilarious because she's like this stunning
right.
white girl from Atlanta. But she talked. She was talking about something, and she was like, "Oh man, we totally used to roll that guy's house." And the way she said it made it sound like it was so much more like gangstery.
Yeah.
And then I didn't even know what she was talking about. I was like, "What do you mean you used to roll someone's house?" And she was like, "You know, toilet paper rolls." And I was like, "TPing," which sounds so much more benign and like goofy.
It also sounds like you're like doing a project about like Native Americans. You're
absolutely
gonna, yeah.
form a teepee out of toilet paper. I'm sure that's where you know what? I'm sure that's what they named it after. I'm sure that they used to make them out of toilet paper. Listen, I'm not great at anthropology. Okay, so I'm loving everything that I'm hearing. Now, where did the train stuff come from? Was that a dad thing too?
Yeah, my dad had a train set that he got from when he was a kid, actually. It's like from the year he was born. Somebody gave him when he was a baby a train set. And so we still have that. My dad still has that train. And it's a really awesome O-gauge. And we always, you know, played with that. And then I guess I just like smaller things.
Did you ever get into dollhouses and stuff too?
Not really. I was very much a tomboy, though. So I didn't really have dolls. And even if I liked dolls, I was like, no, I'll play with like the G.I. Joes. You know what
Got
I mean?
It.
Like, I don't know. And even though my brother's younger, I really like thought all his toys were way cooler.
Yeah.
You know, and I like wasn't into Barbies or anything like that. So trains to me, I don't know. I like things like the motion, like things that move, you know. I like whenever we would make dioramas, my dad would help me, you know, like for school, and like they always moved somehow.
That's
like,
great.
But
I love dioramas with all my heart.
Yeah, they're really it's a great idea. Like you make a world. Like that's really what I like making worlds. You know,
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah,
everything about it. You must love the Natural History Museum then.
In New York?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
just
yeah.
Just any place like that where they create these sort of like, and all of a sudden you're in Alaska for a second, and all of a sudden you're here for a second.
And I love the kind of retro one. Like, you know, like some of those are, it's so
please
great.
Please remind me before you go that I want to show you the Windows on Nature book that I'm trying to even point to, and I don't even know where it is. But the New York Natural History Museum has a book about the dioramas. There we go. Windows on Nature up there by the Earth book.
Okay.
And they show you all, like, it's all the kind of cool 70s. And I love that one part of the Natural History Museum that's like wood paneling, like 70s wood paneling, like super 70s, like type print.
Yeah,
on
the typing. The like, yeah, I think that there's something so cool about it just Agreed. Being left. I it really bums me out when places update their.
Me too.
Like I was just talking with someone about Hershey, Pennsylvania at Hershey World. It was the ride that when you go to Hershey Park, there was this big ride that it would show you how they made chocolate.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Have you ever been to Hershey
I've
Park?
I've never been.
It's
sure
really great,
it,
actually. It's a pretty great park. If you like chocolate.
I do.
If you like chocolate and rides.
Who's the fool who doesn't? I know there are some of you out there, guys. You're not fools. But you are fools. Because it's great.
Well, if you're allergic, it's okay if you don't like chocolate.
I guess. I think you should try to overcome that.
Okay,
so there's a ride that shows you how the chocolate's
made.
Yeah,
and you like sit in a little cart and it would like take you through it, and it was so 70s. It was amazing. And when I was a little kid, I didn't understand that it was like really 70s. Like I just thought it was awesome. And there was like an animatronic lady and she was like stirring the chocolate. And then there was a part where you like went through a tunnel and it was just like orange light, and that was like the oven, you know. And my mom would always, I mean, I can remember my brother and I crying because she'd be like, "We're gonna burn." And then, but you know, my mom likes the trick. Us and so, you know, it was just, but it was so cool. Like it was just all really animatronic and weird, and now they
the
updated
Disneyland
it
keeps getting rid of more and more stuff like
I know.
That like the
what
people
was the
mover
one
was so good.
Which one was that?
The people mover.
I don't know. What's the people
that
mover?
Was a really slow moving one in Disneyland that took you sort of on an upper tour of Tomorrowland, and then at one point and this is where I'm going with this and why I'm so sad that it's over. At one point, it would take you into this dark room where it was just movie screens, like, on all sides, and it was Tron. So you were inside Tron on the game grid where the light cycles are, and then there's a big recognizer that comes. And that was, like, I was obsessed with that movie as a child, like, obsessed to the point of sickness. It's all I ever thought about, all I ever wanted to do. My dad and I used to play this game, this Tron game, where, like, that we made up in our house, where he would, like, pick me up and, like, scoot me around at night in the dark, and we would try to, like, we had a motion detector on the, you know, motion detector alarm, and so when you move, even if your alarm's not on, you see a red light that's like a motion sensor, and so we would try to, like, creep so that we didn't set off that red light, because that was cute. Like the master, I mean, please, I was such a nerd. But they had that at Disneyland, and that was, like, I would want to ride the People Mover over and over and over again just for that. And then they got rid of it.
Oh, man, I don't know why they get rid of the good ones.
I know.
What was the one I went to Disney World when I was little, and I was like, this was my favorite thing, and I can't remember what it was called, but it, like, took you through time, through a family from, like, the 40s and then the 50s and the, do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know if they have that at Disneyland LA, and I haven't been to Disney World, but I know I've heard of it, and it was just sort of a dorky history of humans, or a dorky history of families.
I think it was part of the World's Fair from the 60s or something.
Yeah, I haven't been to Disney World. I can't believe I've never been.
Yeah, I've only been, well, I went twice, once when I was 7, and then once when I was 14 with the marching band, and I played my trombone around the Magic Kingdom.
Yep.
But it was really weird because we were back. It was really like, it took me a long time to grow up. I was very stunned. I don't know. I just
don't, like, act like you're grown up now. Yeah. Am I.
This is true. I've been diagnosed with Peter Pan syndrome. But anyway, speaking of Peter Pan, so back to Disney World. So we were in Disney World, and I'm 14 years old, and we're backstage, and I'm seeing, like, Mickey without his head and stuff. And I was just like, I was so heartbroken. It was the weirdest thing. And I was like, oh, this isn't what I remembered 7 years ago when I was 7. This is, like, you know, it was very heartbreaking.
It's a business.
I was pretty sad, you know, marching through.
Was that, like, a huge privilege that your band got to go play at Disney?
Yeah, it was really exciting and very.
And,
like,
what were you playing by that time? What were you playing in the band?
I was playing the trombone.
Oh, that you just
the coolest.
You just said that, but I was just thinking to myself, like, God, how many instruments does Kate play? I knew you played a lot, but I guess I didn't know that you played trombone.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing too about me and the marching, I can play the, I played it, but I also would kind of fake it. Uh-huh. Like, with the trombone, if you move the slide, nobody knows. I mean, there's a couple other people playing it, and that's terrible. That's like me relying on other people.
It's maybe not the worst thing, though. I mean there are worse things that you could have done.
I was faking it, though. That's, like, awful. You know, I'm making all my, like, you know, my trombone friends do all the work and play the right notes, and I'm just, like, there to just have fun. I don't know.
You're not the person I thought you were. I thought you were a really good human being, and clearly that's been proven super false only half an hour into this podcast. This is crushing.
I also would lip sync in the chorus of the musicals.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah.
That was my next question. I was going to say, like, well, you weren't, like, probably you didn't do that when you were singing ever.
Oh, yeah. But I was so scared to sing. It's so weird that I sing now because
then you were still in the musicals.
Yeah. I loved being on stage. I just, you know, didn't think I could sing a note, so I would just kind of get by and then lip sync my way.
But so, like, so this is the thing. There's no way to say this without me sounding like a complete idiot. But I get excited when I'm talking to somebody who really seems like they've always been their authentic selves. And it just sounds like the person that you are now seems so closely tied, you know, because there are some people that I talk to who are like, oh, I used to be like this and I'm really not like that anymore. I changed a lot. And then there are people who are like, nope. A lot of what I carry around with me is, like, very much who I was then. And
yeah, I feel like I'm very much the same person. I mean, I think I've grown in certain ways, but at the same time, like, in a way I feel kind of, I guess, lucky about is, like, I feel really connected still to, like, my 7-year-old self and my 14-year-old self. Like, I feel like I remember how I felt back then. And I think I'm kind of the same, you know?
I feel the same.
Yeah.
I feel the same.
It's kind of lucky. I think growing up is great. I just feel like I fought growing up so hard. I didn't want to grow up.
Yeah.
You know?
So what was your awareness of that when you were, for example, in high school? Like, did you, because you talk about being very much in your own world and being a very artistic. It sounds like you spent a lot of time alone, but you did also spend time doing a lot of stuff with your family, like playing instruments or, you know, your dad on the trains and stuff like that. When you were in high school, was there, what was your awareness of these other girls and what they were doing that you weren't interested in and that, you know?
I was, I think I kind of, I was selective in what I believed, I just wanted to believe certain things. And I remember the first girl in high school to get pregnant. And I was like, what? Like, no, that's only on TV. Like, that happens on 90210 or something. Right. That's not real.
Right.
You know? And that just was so crazy to me. Like, I just didn't think that that was actually happening to people I knew. You know what I mean? Like, I was just very much in my own safe mind,
And what were your friends like? Did you have friends who were similar to you, you didn't have too many over and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I had, I had friends in the marching band. I had friends that were in the plays, but I was very it was kind of friends at school, but I didn't really socialize too much outside of school. I was really happy hanging out with my mom and dad. That's the truth.
Adorable.
So I just felt very happy just being, at home. And I did my watercolor class and, practiced the piano.
I think it's great. So you were, and also you were generating so much of your own work. If you loved doing stuff, I think a lot of people that age, and I'm certainly one of them, I was doing shows and stuff and I did play guitar, but I still was I spent, so much time watching television and so much time going to movies and so much time reading books. And that's all, other people's stuff that I was flooding my eye and ear holes with. Were you obsessive about certain artists? Did you admire fine art as an observer, or were you just interested in doing your own?
I was actually really into TV and movies. I would read Entertainment Weekly every week because I was so curious about Hollywood. It just seemed so magical and crazy. In fact, when I was home over Christmas, last Christmas, I found a bunch of InStyle magazines. Uh-huh. It was right when it came out, the first, it was issue 1 and 2 and 3. And it was so funny because I remember looking at those when they first came out and being like, wow, it's so cool.
Those have got to be worth so much money now.
Yeah.
It's maybe not.
I actually Instagrammed a picture. It was what was it? Snowboarding is here to stay.
I love it.
I was really into movies, and I would learn as much as I could about the different actors and
who were you who did you love?
Sandra Bullock to me was
she's adorable.
I have yet to meet her, or one time I saw her driving and it made my day.
Oh.
I was turning the corner and I was wait, that's Sandra Bullock in that nice car.
She's terribly likable.
I just
she's just very, very appealing.
I am obsessed with While You Were Sleeping. Do you remember that movie?
Do I remember that movie? Please,
it's
I've
so
seen it
good.
A million times. It is so good, you guys. While You're Sleeping is genuinely good. It's very funny. It's quirky.
It's
very sweet. Bill Pullman is great in it. Peter Gallagher's great in it. Obviously, Sandy's great in it.
Sandy's awesome in it.
The whole family is adorable. They do a great job.
There's a scene where she has a big oversized gray sweater. And I remember being oh, man, I really want a big oversized gray sweater. And then I went to this church bazaar and I found one. And it was the coolest thing.
That's
obsessed.
Fantastic.
But that movie is so good. And Ricky is who I sing with Garfunkel and Oates. And so she and I have this kind of running bit where she tells me that it's not a good movie and tells me why. And I'm we always just go back and forth.
But what is her argument for not being good? Because I understand it's still a totally silly romantic comedy, but
she's first of all, Sandy is working as a toll booth operator at and then she's and she falls in love with a guy who is in a coma, and then she falls in love with his brother, and then it's just, she's like, it's creepy.
I guess I could see
yeah,
all of those
but
things.
It's still a perfect movie in my mind.
You know what movie I love, and I wonder if you ever saw it, because a lot of people haven't seen it, is The Night We Never Met. It kind of reminds me of that for some reason.
I don't know.
It's Matthew Broderick.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Oh my gosh. Annabella Sciorra, I think.
I don't know that
It's
movie.
Really cute. It's about, I feel like it came out around the same time. And it's about
this apartment in New York that no one can afford on their own. But instead of all like living there at the same time, they sort of rent it out various nights. So okay. like Matthew Broderick's this wonderful chef who works at like Dean and DeLuca or something. And he lives with a ton of roommates and he hates where he lives. But what he can afford is like two nights a week, he gets to go to this apartment where he kind of has his little area of the apartment where he just gets to have peace and quiet. And maybe he takes a date there or something like that. And so different people on different nights go there for different reasons. And I think Annabella Sciorra is going there to like paint or something. And so they have been living in this, they've been quote unquote like subletting this same apartment, but they never meet because they're on different nights. It's very sweet.
That's a great idea. Yeah, I think really I would
cute,
like that movie.
It's really cute. And there's a lot of really funny, good people in it that you're like, oh, so-and-so's in it. Oh, that guy.
I have
to
really,
look at, it's a sweet little romantic comedy. I bet you'd like it.
I'm gonna have to Netflix it. I love romantic comedies.
It may not hold up, but I think probably. Yeah. But so here, you loved romantic comedies.
Oh yeah.
But you weren't interested in being like dating or
no? Or, it was.
I mean, did you have crushes on people that you went unrequited or?
Oh yeah, I always had a crush. Oh my god, like always had crushes since I was like a little like. Forever and ever. I mean, I remember in nursery school, I had a crush on this boy. I don't remember his name, but he was 3 and I was 4. And because he was a little younger, he needed help like cutting, you know, or yeah. like, you know, things like that.
He so was
I'd,
a cutter.
I'd no, help him out. No, I would help him out a little. And then I remember I kissed him. This maybe is why I don't, maybe this goes back to like when I was 4, but I kissed him. And then the teacher told my mom that I had kissed this boy. And then my mom said, did you kiss him? And it was my first conscious lie. I remember going, no, I didn't do that. And I was like, oh my god, I'm lying to my mother. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so maybe that's why I didn't date, because of that whole nursery school incident. I don't know.
That's probably what it is.
Yeah, no.
Then let's analyze this, because I don't know what this means. I think this might make me really cheap, and yet I totally wasn't, and I lost my virginity at what I consider to be a reasonable age. But when I was in preschool, Sean France took me into like some empty room and pulled down his pants and showed me his penis. And I was like, oh, I guess I have to. And I pulled down my pants.
No way.
And then we calmly, nothing happened. We just did that. And we were like 4.
Yeah.
Just did that. And then went on with our day.
Little kids do that kind of yeah. stuff. And I think it is sort of innocent and not, it's not like, I mean, I don't know. I remember I was babysitting and there was this giant party happening and I was helping babysit for this family and couldn't find two little kids. They were both 3. And everyone's like looking for them. And so like all the whole family's looking for these and they were like making out. Like,
really?
Kind of. They were
full
just
on
like,
makeout.
They were not like total, that's making out's probably the wrong, but they're like like rolling around and kissing and just like totally, wow. It's so interesting. Little kids have that instinct, I guess. But yeah, I don't know.
So was there a sense of like, I don't ever want this to come to fruition? Like, was that part of the sort of like keeping it removed at a distance and sort of romanticizing it rather than it becoming like a real thing that you had to deal with?
Yes, and I think I've carried that through to today. I'm still the same person that I was when I was little. But yeah, I feel like it was always safe to kind of like have these crushes and like, you know, I had a crush on this guy from like 5th grade until I was a senior. Like, you know, it was like, and I would like, if I was wearing like a really good outfit that day, like if I had like my fake Doc Martens on and like my really cool flannel, like I would make sure that I'd like pass him in the hall. Like I knew where, you know, it's kind of creepy, but I knew his schedule.
And so that's a long standing crush. Cause I feel that my crushes, I don't know that I would have crushed on one person that entire time. Not to say you didn't have others.
Oh, I had other crushes,
but that
too,
it was
but
consistent
yes.
like that.
Yeah,
that's pretty
but
impressive.
He was so dreamy. And then, yeah.
Was he dreamy to other people? Was it like
yeah.
he the guy that
oh, yeah, yeah.
On?
I was yeah. not even close to going out with this guy ever. But I do remember, though, one day, he was just a nice guy, too. And he was like, hey, do you want to... Or actually, I probably was the one. He didn't ask me. We were talking about skateboarding. And I was like, oh, I skateboard. Hey, we should go to the park sometime. He's like, all right. Like, you want to go today and go skateboarding at the park? And I was like, oh, my God. Like, I'm going to get to go skateboarding with my crush.
Hells yeah.
And I also had, like, my purple helmet, which I called the Easter egg. And then I had my wrist guards. And I had my knee guards. And I had my elbow.
Responsible.
Yeah.
Very responsible.
And I was, you know, at the park just, like, my heart pounding. Like just can't wait. And I'm like so freaking out that this guy's going to come and skateboard with me. And I just was circling and circling and circling and he never showed up. And then the next day I'm sitting next to him in class and he looks at me and he's like, Oh my gosh, I said I'd go skateboard. I'm so sorry. I totally forgot about it. Oh. And I was like, oh, hey, no big deal. It's not, whatever, man.
Oh, no.
Hey, we'll do it another time. And that was the closest I came to going out on a date with
you. You couldn't have described something that's easier to picture in the most heartbreaking, adorable way of you just solemnly and hopefully with all of your gear circling to nothing.
Yep.
Oh, nothing. No.
Yeah. So, yeah, I didn't have a boyfriend or anything, and I really didn't have a boyfriend till I was in my mid-20s, I guess. But
and did anyone like you, but you were like, no.
Oh, yeah, I would get asked out, and I would just say no, thank you. I guess it was safer to say that. I mean, I think if one of my crushes had asked me out, that would have been a different story.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just always kind of just doing my own thing and painting in the painting room at school. Like, you know, I'd spend my lunch there because I could do work. But yeah, I don't know. But I was happy though. Like, okay, so this is kind of explains a lot. When I first started doing commercials, I was luckily like doing a lot of them, and I thought, well, gosh, maybe I should take like an acting class because I don't know, maybe I'll do this, you know. And so I signed up for this acting class. And
how old were you?
I was 24.
Okay,
24, I think. And so the first assignment is you have to write what your perfect day would be and read it to the class. So anybody that's new, that's their assignment. So I wrote my perfect day, and it was like, I wake up and my roommates are all there and we make pancakes, and then we go down to the beach and we fly kites. And it was like, to me, the ultimate, like, and then we listen to the Beach Boys on our record player. Like, it was, everything was
so far,
sounds
so great.
Perfect, right? In my mind, it was totally perfect. And then as like I was in class longer, new people would come in. And their perfect days usually started with, like, I wake up next to the most beautiful man, the most beautiful woman, have crazy sex. And I was like, oh, everybody else's perfect day has, like, a boyfriend or girlfriend and a lot of sex. And mine didn't even occur to me that that would be, like, a thing.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, no, let's go fly kites and make pancakes with chocolate chips in them.
I mean, what you're describing sounds really
right?
good.
And we did that kind of stuff, and it was fun. I lived in this big house with a bunch of people, and we had a good time.
Well, I guess, and that's too... But that's interesting, because I think what I think of when I can imagine not listing that stuff as a perfect day, I'm hyper aware, and I talk about it on the podcast all the time, but I am hyper aware of like the really hard stuff about being in a relationship and mm-hmm. the sort of adult side of like, oh, conflict, and oh, you get your heart smashed or you hurt someone else, and like all of those things that feel messy.
Yeah.
That maybe you see in a romantic comedy, but they're at a distance and then they all resolve themselves.
Yeah, or the movie ends before that part starts.
Yeah, before it even starts. Before their actual relationship has to like come into being, and it's just right after they finally gotten together for the first time. Agreed.
Right.
And so the simplicity of like removing that and then just having this kind of very platonic perfect day where conflict can't arise. But it's also hard living with people that you're not in love with for different reasons, right? I mean, I know you had a great time, but, did you ever find that just, you know, roommate situations were like, oh no, this is like an uncomfortable silence for some reason that like I've done something or...
You know, there were, I'm trying to think, like, that was kind of, that house in particular was a pretty amazing, like, it was, there were five or six of us, depending. We were living in the Pacific Palisades, which is a crazy
story. That's kind
of
awesome, yeah.
And we had a house that overlooked the ocean. I don't know, we're all paying $500. Like, it was cheap.
Yeah.
It was great. And cheap in the scheme of living in the Palisades.
Sure.
And then, so we just had a great time. There were definitely things among some of the roommates. I kind of always avoid, you know, I think I've learned though, I've lived with other roommates and, you know, if ever there was a problem, you just talk about it. I try not to hold anything in because it'll just, you know, I don't want it to build. I just,
mm-hmm.
if it's like a little problem, I'll just say it. And then usually, I mean, knock on wood, obviously there's always things.
Listen,
you know.
I'm around the corner from asking you to move into my house tomorrow.
Well, I really like your house.
We probably do great together.
I think so. I feel the same.
I'm more of a talker. I just finished saying to someone, like, I feel like I'm more likely to say something with a caveat, like, it's possible I'm not even going to feel like this in 30 seconds, but I'm just going to say it to make sure that, like, we smooth it out.
Yeah.
And then, like, it's done, opposed to just sitting and stewing.
Well, and I've really kind of learned, I think I've learned about relationships more than anything from being in Garfunkel and Oates with Ricky. Like, you know, we've been together for, gosh, I don't know, 5 or 6 years now. And so now I'm like, I've learned a lot about what it's like to be in a relationship and checking in with a person and making sure that our schedules work out and like working with a person. And I'm like, oh, this is like the best, like I've learned a whole lot and like, you know, and I love this person and it's a wonderful thing. So like, you know, and not to say there aren't times where we have to talk things through, but
yeah,
you know, we're able to work it out. And I've learned like, oh, maybe I could do that with a guy someday. So
I mean,
there's like
the
a
most impossible thing,
right? So yeah, I think there's some sort of hope, I guess.
Well, it sounds, and also to the roommate situation and the relationship situation and the partnership that you have with Ricky, like, I mean, this is just completely stating the obvious, but I feel like it can't be overstated, is just that mutual respect.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of contempt that breeds from those silences in relationships of any kind. And you start to make the other person like us versus them. Like there's a sort of apartness to, you know, the feelings that you have, and like that's the fastest way to get to a place where you're like, well, they don't get me, or like, I don't like that they do this, and I guess that makes them stupid or whatever that people kind of fall into, that is, that's, that makes it tricky.
Yeah, I think just, it's so, I mean, it sounds so cheesy to say, but like it's just so much easier to talk things through when they happen before it starts to, you know, eat at you, you know.
Totally. But, it sounds like your parent, and so your parents are still married, which I think is a really good indicator, yeah, to their communication. Or I guess it doesn't have to be. People can be married and be not happy.
No,
but you have a really healthy outlook.
They're good, really good examples. I think my mom and dad, they're very sweet.
Yeah,
they just bought a camper and are camping around.
So, they are.
Yeah, it's the
they're
cutest
doing
thing.
That thing.
It's
that so kind cute. Of seems wonderful.
I know, it's really
for
really
them
sweet.
Because that's really about, and you really have to enjoy someone's company.
Yeah,
that.
That's true, because you're gonna like just be hanging out. Yeah. But
I feel like some couples, like their kids leave home and they find out that what they had in common was their kids, and you know, they try to do something like that and they just can't connect anymore. So I love that they're,
yeah,
it.
It's the cute, yeah, they're really sweet. I feel very lucky in that sense. Yeah, but or in a lot of senses, I guess.
Just that one. You have to choose one. I'm sorry,
just
that's
one. Okay,
that's,
then
that's
that one.
The nature of the podcast, once again. So when was the first time that you like got a kiss?
Okay, so 18 years old, college, freshman year, I was dating this guy for about a week.
And
it
wasn't... Is this the art college?
So I went to 3 colleges because I couldn't figure out what I wanted to do with my life. It was very confusing, and I was paying for school on my own, and it was like a lot of money, and I didn't want to be wasting money at a place I wasn't happy.
Sure.
I think there's something really, like, there was something really freeing about having to pay for my own school, because I could make my own, like, hey, I'm doing this wherever I want to go. I can go, you know. And so I went to Penn State for one semester, but a smaller campus, not the main campus, because that was very scary to me because it was so big. And then so that was where I met this guy, Adam. And Adam and I, we were watching The Simpsons, and it was like the quickest, like, kind of kiss. Like, not even a real kiss. It was like, and then we'd kiss maybe the next day or 2 days after, and I was another, and then I broke up with him. And then I didn't date again until I was like 22. Mm. It's kind of crazy. And so like 22 was like the first real kiss, and he was like 23, and like he wanted to do a little more than just like make out. And I was like, are you, like, I got so mad and I told him to take me home, and I broke up with him. And looking back, I'm like, that's, you're 22 and 23. You're supposed to do like stuff more than just, I mean, you're not supposed to, you do whatever you feel is right.
Right. But people
like,
were out there doing those things.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at that age, you probably do more than just kiss.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that, and or at least I did, and I just ignored, you know, that idea. So anyway, yeah, I didn't really have like a real kiss till I was 22.
Well, what I get, sometimes I get into this mode, and sometimes, and very often recently I haven't, but let's do it because it popped into my mind. But what do you, I mean, you know, people that we have people of all ages, both genders and various lifestyles who listen to this podcast. But for younger people, I guess, like, what advice would you give in terms of, because it really does sound like you were doing things, not fringe necessarily, but that you weren't doing things that some people were doing, and you were doing things that people weren't. And like, how did you have to navigate a feeling of being judged by that, or did people just leave you be?
You know,
that's not even a question about advice, but
well,
I guess that's
I think I was sort of in a, like, ignorance is bliss, I guess. You know, like, my last name is Micucci, and I didn't know what coochie meant until I read the vagina monologues when I was 24. And then I had this flash of, like, all the times people had made fun of my name, because Micucci sure. could be a lot of things, and I just didn't know. And then, so, I mean, kids were making fun of my name for forever, but I didn't know what they, it was just like, so I was fine. And like, and I think that's probably, you know, I was probably,
that really is a delightful ignorance of bliss kind of thing.
Yeah.
I love it.
I think I was just, always like just ignoring it. If people were, I'm sure there were times where, sure, I can't think of any. I've probably just buried them in the back of my brain. But, like, I just feel like I just did my... I kind of had blinders on. I just, like, stayed in my lane and just did my thing. And I didn't really compare myself too much to other... You know, what other people were doing at my age. Like, you know... That sounds so crazy. Like,
it sounds
like,
great to me. It's because you are describing a period of time where for most people in their lives, that is almost all that we think about is what is someone else doing?
Yeah.
What did they think about me? Did I make them mad? Did I this? Did I that? You know, I just had Jillian Vigman on and she's talking about, it's funny because we talked about people who changed their names because they were made fun of for what their names were.
Right.
And we talked about these notes that she would write that she looked at, and they were all like, I think it was Jillian. It feels like we just talked. That it was like, I feel like you're mad at me. Are you mad at me? Uh-huh. Like, there's a lot of sort of like this really projecting outside yourself and really judging yourself based on what you think other people might be thinking about you. And I'm so impressed, guys. I am drinking a sparkling fizzy water today, so I was guaranteed to be burping it up, and I really have tried to control myself, but it's still happening, as we know it does. But that you so had the opposite of that, I think, is really amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird talking about it right now. I'm like, wow, I was really what was going on, but you know, I was pretty happy about that. I mean, not just happy about going about my day and doing my thing. And, yeah, I guess I wasn't too worried about it. Like,
well, you know what I want to stretch it over to where we live now, because I can't help but wonder, has that served you well here as well? Because you can easily fall down the rabbit hole of like, I didn't get this part. What does it mean? What do these casting agents think of me, or what? And like, if you're able to sort of still have that attitude of like, you know what, I'm just going to do my thing.
Well, I think there's, yeah, I do think that there are things where I can apply that and try to be that, but I feel like I'm also so much more aware of everything now. When I first moved to LA, I did not drive on the freeway. I did not really grocery shop for myself or do my own laundry, and I didn't date, you know, it was like all this stuff. And I think that first year or two, I had to learn like so much, and also learn about dealing with people. And this town is really interesting. I mean, it's filled with characters, and
for sure
everybody, you know, has, you know, there's people with certain agendas where you might not, you know, but so I learned really quickly that I couldn't just like keep going like, well, what's the day gonna bring, you know? Like, I mean, there are days where I like to do, you know, if I have a day off, I maybe just see where the day takes me, and that's awesome. But at the same time, I feel like I had to get smart pretty quick,
yeah,
about certain things, because otherwise you will get taken advantage of, or just like true. End up in like the weirdest situations, which I did end up in some crazy weird, I mean, some stories I probably would not want to share, but like, I'm like, thank goodness I got out of that without getting
here. Yes. Yeah.
In LA.
Just stumbling into a situation where you're people. Like, ooh.
Yeah. Like, what am, oh, wait, you know, just, you know, nutty things, which I'm now just censoring what I'm going to say, because there are so many.
Fair enough.
So many stories where I, luckily, nothing bad happened, but I needed to learn that lesson, because it helped me to survive out here a little bit, you know. But getting back to like, you know, like an audition, like auditions are the, you know, that's where you're being judged. You know, you work so hard and you have you're prepared and you have everything the way you want to say it, and you can walk in a room and, you know, it's just like, that's such a weird thing to have to do for your job. Like, it's so weird. And I just try to, usually I just like, when I leave, I just like try to forget all about it, you know? Just like,
I think that's definitely the healthiest way to go.
Yeah. No, it's hard when you really like a part though, because then you're like, oh, but I wonder what's going to happen, you know? Yeah. but yeah, I try not to take those things personally, you know?
Well, and the longer we're here, and this is not a show about show business, but the longer you're here, I think the more, and this is another thing that holds true for, it's been a while since I've said this, but to sort of say that Hollywood is like this magnifying glass microcosm version of real life, mm-hmm. in some ways, that when you find out that you so frequently don't get a part, and then you find out all of the different variables that had absolutely nothing to do with your quality, what you brought to it, and whether you did a good job. And I think that is something that we can all take a lesson from wherever we are, just to be reminded that we shouldn't be so solipsistic and to not think that each experience that we have is so strongly tied to what we did or said in the moment, that so much of it is like a million things that had to happen or that have no, you know, bearing on like what you brought to the table that made something be what it is. Does that make sense?
Totally. I think that's there. It's so true. I mean, it may have, you know, nothing to do, you know, like you might remind one of the producers of like an ex-girlfriend or something. Yeah. And that's what, you know, whatever it is, like, yeah. There's so many random things that can happen. But I think that's also like, that's what's so great about, like, you know, writing or making art or like having your own creative thing that, like, you can at the end of the day go home and be like, you know what, I'm gonna just write a song now because that's what I do,
and no one can stop me. Yeah, from doing that.
And if I want to, you know, send it to a friend, or if I want to, or I can keep it to myself, or I'll put it online, or whatever it is, like to have a way to express yourself and not have anybody else control it is like. That's where there's such freedom and like happiness, you know?
Absolutely.
But yeah. And I think anybody can, you know, whatever it is that you can find that, like, I don't know, you feel free in it, you know?
Yeah. I love that. I think it's a perfect segue into getting into the Smash game that we're going to play.
All right, let's do it.
Except for this part where I just keep choosing pens that do not work well with this Smash pad. Maybe if I do it like backwards somehow, will I still be able to see the, I mean, almost, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. So basically I have 1, 2, 3, 6, 8 categories total. Okay. Why don't you give me 3 instruments. You know how to play MASH. Yeah. Did you ever play MASH?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's no way that you don't know this. Okay. 3 instruments that you wish that you could just play perfectly tomorrow for whatever reason.
All right. Well, guitar. I wish I could. Okay.
Great.
Let's say violin, because that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
And love it. Let's go with harmonica.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would be pretty impressive.
Your brother's a kazooist.
Yeah. Yeah. He makes wooden kazoos. They're pretty awesome.
Pretty great. What about 3 diorama type environments you wish you could shrink down and play in and be a part of?
Oh, that's so cool. Okay.
And or not shrink down, but like go into the Natural History Museum, kind of like if that kind of became real and you could live in it.
All right. Okay. Let me think here. I think I would love to. Okay. Here's one. Marina Del Rey in the 1980s. Like, you know, like I just, for some reason, picture like David Hasselhoff and like little, like really cool sports cars and people with hats and yachts.
In the
sort
80s.
Of, yeah.
Love it. Okay.
Okay. So that's one. Great. How about, I know. How about like a ski slope with,
great.
You know, little skiers.
Great.
I think that would be fun. And then
that is a really good one. There's got to be some good ski slope,
yeah, right?
Around
with the, there's so much to do with like chairlifts, yeah. And like, you know, little
dusting,
skiers fall.
Dusting the trees with snow, with fake,
yeah.
Snow and stuff. That'd be
that's,
really fun.
I love that about. I love fake snow at like malls and Christmas. Like that's just the weirdest.
Yeah.
Also, I love looking at fake snow in movies because like they just lay it out and like. You know, like it just doesn't look right.
Right. But yeah.
I've actually, one time I was watching a movie and the guy, it must have been on some sort of like fishing line, and the snow just like a chunk moved with his foot. And I was like,
caught it. You,
yeah.
Caught it. Okay.
Fake snow. Okay.
This is great. These are 2 very different things. What's your third?
All right. Third, let's go underwater to like a shipwreck.
It.
How about?
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, with like gold and stuff like that.
Oh my gosh. I used to love just going to the like pet stores and just going through like the aquarium section and
me
looking
too.
At all the little like the treasure chest and
uh-huh.
the skeleton and
like they would move with the water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or like the clam that opens and there's a pearl inside. Yep. Oh, those are the best.
I had a fish tank for it. Did you have a fish tank?
I did. Well, I didn't have a tank like that. My parents were like, we're not going to do some complicated thing.
Right.
So I just had like a goldfish.
Yeah.
In a round thing with like, I did have a treasure chest though.
I killed my goldfish accidentally because I didn't know before setting it up that you're not supposed to wash it out with soap. So the soap, yeah, poor fish.
You know that happens all the time.
Probably. I was just trying to be clean.
What are you going
to
do?
I don't know.
Some germs are okay. Some germs are okay. Well, okay, what about three? Let's spin off of that and go three unreasonable and unrealistic pets that it would be fun to have.
Oh, well, monkey, easily. Wouldn't you want, I mean, like,
because they're just, he's your buddy.
They're coolest. Catherine Hepburn had a monkey, and I used to always say to my parents, can't we get a monkey? Catherine Hepburn had one. That's like a really bad argument. But, and then what else would be cool? Well, I always feel bad. I would say like polar bear, but then I'm like, no, they're supposed to be like, I can't,
no,
you know what I mean?
This is a world where none of the bad things exist. It's okay. Total imaginary.
All right, then polar bear, because I would like to have a pool and go swimming with the polar bear. And then how about like a really friendly Loch Ness monster?
Great. A great sea serpent.
Okay, good.
Love it. Absolutely love it. All right, listen, I don't want to force you to draw too much because you said that you didn't necessarily remember too much, but can you think of three artists, living or dead, that it would be cool to like hang around with?
Oh,
like,
sure.
You have a new friend and it's one of these artists.
Okay. Paul Klee, Klee.
Oh,
you know?
I know it.
Well, you know Klee. And then...
Those wonderful... Isn't that like... Sorry, like, now I'm backtracking on myself, but isn't that like really rich, very colorful,
like watercolors with like a lot of pen and ink? Yeah. He did a lot. Yeah, that
so cool.
And not only, and also oils and everything, but I really love his watercolors. I think that they're like magic.
Okay,
but,
Paul Klee's a great one.
Okay, and then Keith Haring, of course. I would. Right. And how about Frida Kahlo?
Sure,
because I feel like she's one of those people that like just like knew how to like. Live, you know what I mean?
I know it.
Even though she had a crazy life, like, and had a lot of obstacles, she was still like living the life.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, that's that whole, you know, and the, so many movies have been made about it and stuff. But I read this book that I really liked. I keep gesturing towards my bookshelf, one of my bookshelves, which doesn't even have that many books on it.
It's a very cool bookshelf, though.
Thank you. The rest of them are in my bedroom, but I think it's actually over here. There's this book called Tenissima, and it's a fictional story based on, you know, it's historical fiction, so it's really very closely based on Tina Madotti's
life.
And she is just fascinating. I was obsessed with a lot of photographers when I was, because I took a lot of photography in college.
Right.
And so she was a photographer in her own right, and she was also Edward Weston's mistress, and he's just an extraordinary photographer. But that whole thing, not unlike the kind of Midnight in Paris, that world that Woody Allen shows you where all these cool people are friends with each other.
Right.
That world of like Frida Kahlo, Diego Rivera, Tina Madotti, Edward Weston, Alfred Stieglitz, all of these amazing artists who were just hanging out together in Mexico and talking about the revolution and talking about being communists and stuff just was so cool.
You know, it's I think about that a lot, and I think it's, and then I sometimes wonder when I'm backstage at UCB on one of those like magical nights and I'm like, is this also one of those times? Like, it might be, you know? Like, you'll just look around the room and everyone is so amazing and talented. Yeah. And like, I just feel like it's a privilege to be there. And then you're like, wow, and the conversation is so cool. And yeah. So, I mean, I'm not saying that. I mean, who knows? Maybe it's just like,
I think that's a great point. I think that there's some really magical, very cool stuff happening in a community that we're lucky enough to be a part of, which, you know, neither one of us, I think, looks that gift horse in the mouth. What about,
I was gonna say, getting back to Frida Kahlo and Diego Rivera, she wrote a poem, and I wish I remember. All I remember is it was about how she wanted to live in Diego Rivera's armpit. And I thought that was, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And I was like, this is just such a romantic idea. Like, she just wanted to be in his armpit.
Yeah.
Anyway.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
And I feel like I could easily rock a unibrow. Just saying.
You could totally rock unibrow.
Give me a couple days, I could do it.
Yeah. Also, I wish I had thicker eyebrows. So grass is always greener. What about three imaginary lands could be like something out of Star Wars, could be something out of Lord of the Rings, could be something out of books, anything like that. But three imaginary lands where you have a vacation home.
Oh, okay. You know, it's interesting because I don't really know much about, like, it's weird. I don't know, like, fairy lands or anything, really. But, okay, pirate ship would be cool.
Great.
Is that okay?
That's a great
Does that
one.
Work? Because absolutely. I wanted to be a pirate so bad.
Absolutely.
But then my
Why
dad
the
told
not?
Me that pirates are only drug dealers now. And I was like...
Listen, they're also rapists and murderers. Yeah. Don't worry. Don't worry. That's all that stuff
I was
is
like,
still
we're
happening.
Not dealing gold anymore. Come on.
I don't think so. There are not as many talking parrots, probably.
I know. Pippi Longstocking was like... Oh, do you remember that movie...
Well, I watched the German ones. Did you? They were all dubbed. They were all from probably the 70s, and they were all dubbed into English. So if their mouths didn't match what was going on.
Right.
So they're a good, really good Pippi Longstocking movie.
Yeah, I think it was like 1988 that it came out. But I was the first time we were in the theater, and I begged to stay and watch it again.
Ugh.
But, you know, she was on a pirate ship.
Oh, she's rad.
Yeah, she's very cool.
I remember all the cool, like, this hiding place that she had in that wood, then the tree. That was, like, something that was a big deal in the series that I watched.
Oh, I don't think
outside her house.
That wasn't in the movie.
She had a horse.
She had a horse, yes, and a monkey.
In the house. Monkey and a horse.
Yeah.
I recall there's actually a song about how she has a monkey and a horse. something about special friends, of course. Okay, pirate ship. Great.
Okay, pirate ship. How about... All right. How about... I don't know. Now I feel like we're going to need to edit this podcast to make
totally
this go
fine.
Shorter because
nope,
I'm really thinking
really,
about this.
You can really muse.
Any kind of magical worlds... Well,
or another planet, or like, you know what I mean?
Oh,
just something
like
just, not possible in life now.
Well, let's say the moon, because I'm kind of like, I mean, I probably stare at the moon a little bit too
Do
long
you?
Sometimes. Like, it's just so cool that this
amazing.
Thing is there and it's keeping us going around. Like,
yeah.
I mean, but also, like, I freak out about the moon often. I have a song about the moon, I have paintings that I made about the moon, like, I talk about the moon. Way too much to my friends. They're like, okay, it's the moon. But I'm like, so let's say the moon.
Great.
I really want to see that movie Gravity starring our good friend Sandy.
Yeah.
She's lost in space. And then let's say, how about like, yeah. Okay. So there was this place in New Jersey when I was a kid called Wild West City. I don't even know if it's still there. But it's like fake cowboys.
Love it.
So
we have a place called Old Tucson that's the same.
Kind of,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, Wild West City is a really funny. There's almost something about it that sounds
like a strip club.
Yes, 100% what I was going to say. You read my mind. That's really funny. Okay, then our next category is going to be three. Oh, I got to go three crushes. Three, ideally somebody that people actually know.
Okay,
now they could be people from fiction. It could be like, you know, Elliot from E.T.
Right.
It could be a celebrity as themselves. It could be somebody from a book.
Okay, let's go with three crushes I've had in my life and maybe still do.
Yeah.
David Letterman.
Great.
It's going to get a little bit stranger because they're going to get older. John
could be from any era.
John Williams, the conductor.
That is adorable.
When I was 10, I met him. I like was crying. I was so excited. And then, and Elijah Wood.
Great.
Because he's so cute.
Those
you remember?
Are all great.
I had a poster of
John
The War.
Williams.
That remember that movie?
Yeah,
that
I never saw it, but I know the poster, weirdly.
Yeah.
I guess it's probably the same as the video cassette box. Again,
probably.
Guys, we do not deal in VHS tapes anymore, so I could have just said the DVD, but the MP3.
I had the poster because I really liked Elijah Wood, and I thought he had perfect teeth in that poster.
He has cute teeth.
Yeah.
Because they're not perfect.
Yeah.
Thus, they're perfect.
Same with David Letterman.
I'm very excited to see how that's all going to pan out with these gentlemen. What about a place that you... Well, let's say this is... Let's do this. These are three places where you're on a date with one of... Like, with this person that you're going to end up with. It's like it's sort of your perfect day kind of thing. But
okay.
It's like three different places where you guys are hanging out. Anywhere.
Okay. Let's say the Santa Monica Pier, because I really like skee ball and I like the roller coaster there.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'll go outside of LA. How about Let's go to Rome.
Great.
Why not? Because let's get some good gelato and a nice pizza. And
God damn it, gelato is delicious.
Right? I was in Rome in July, and it was not this July, years ago, but it was so hot. And I just like lived on gelato. It was the best.
I was eating it twice a day without question.
Yeah.
Eating it twice a day when I was in Florence. And I was there for dinner and a movie, and Paul Gilmartin, do you know Paul, maybe?
I know the name.
Around, yeah, I'm sure you've been on the same shows together. He was eating this chocolate gelato, and he was so obsessed with the texture of it. He was like, this texture of this gelato is so amazing. And he turned to the costume designer and said, Linda, I want you to make me a shirt from this gelato. He just wanted to have it. He wanted to be cloaked in it. He loved the texture of this gelato so much.
I also like the idea that, like, you could, if you're hungry, just kind of like eat a little of your shirt.
Give a little lick.
Yeah.
Give a little lick. No one has to know.
This is going to sound so gross, but I always had two braids when I was a kid. Well, I love Pippi Longstocking. But one time I accidentally got one of my braids in the Salisbury steak. And that came with the school lunch. And so it got a little gravy-ish. And then later in the day, I realized that there was some gravy on the bottom of my braid. And it was kind of awesome. And that sounds disgusting. And as I say it, I can't believe I just said that.
Love you for admitting that. And I feel that I have probably sucked on a braid that also had something in it. I can't guarantee it's Salisbury steak.
Like,
that's a home run right there. But it might have been something. It's more likely I would have sucked on it because I got like something, like dipped it in Kool-Aid or something, and just like sucked on the sweet because I had such a sweet tooth when I was a kid. Okay, so Rome is great.
That's so true.
What about a third place for a date?
Okay, how about I wanted to say a grassy field, and then my brain went to the grassy knoll, but that's a really weird place for a date, but let's go there.
Listen, you're going to find out what really happened with JFK and who was on that knoll,
it's
if anyone.
Pretty amazing. Have you been to the grassy knoll?
I haven't.
Because there are people that just want to talk about it, and then you get stuck there for like an hour just listening to like conspiracy theories, but they're amazing, and usually those people are like a little crazy, but it's awesome.
Conspiracy theories in general get me real juiced. Like I don't walk away believing them necessarily, but I get real into when people are like, did you realize that JFK was the same age as blah, blah, like that kind of stuff. When people just go down that road,
all the Lincoln,
I get super
really weird.
Love all of that stuff.
Yeah.
In fact, you know what it reminds me of is I've almost gotten through an episode without giving a shout out to Radiolab. There's an episode of Radiolab called Stochasticity. And it's all about the idea that things that, like, how you craft coincidences to seem eerie with all the data that you have, that you, like, find the things that are in common, and then that's what you present, and it makes it seem like there's no way, it has to be conspiracy or something like that.
I do that.
It's really interesting.
I usually do that with guys. If I have a crush, I'll be like, but I can't believe that this happened and this, and then why would he be there?
Yes,
but then it's like, sure, you just, like, you can make up anything. You can make anything real.
That's just looking for magic in real life.
Right.
And I think that there's something kind of wonderful about that. So
that's true.
I choose to think that it's 100% awesome as well.
Did we land on the moon?
give me three. Okay. God, these have been coming so easily to me. What about three foods that you have access to whenever you want them? That could mean that it's like something that is kind of hard to find in LA. It could be like an old hamburger place that you love, blah, blah, blah. Or it could just be like, I wish I could eat cookies all the time, but I come down from the sugar high and it's the worst.
Okay.
So
no
ramification food.
Pizza
stuff.
Is like,
I mean, it's the best.
Yeah. It doesn't get much better than
it's
but like a good New York, you know, foldable slice.
Foldable New York slice.
Yeah.
Got it.
And then my mom's spaghetti. No doubt. My mom's spaghetti is
not
like...
Not to be confused with your Halloween costume?
No. Not yet. But although that was also pretty good looking spaghetti. But then, I'm pretty simple when it comes to food. Like, I love anything with red sauce. I don't know. It just...
But we are getting very... Yeah. Like Italian
pizza,
food.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that makes sense. It's sort of... Hey, well, I
wait, Micucci.
Yeah. But then I think... Let's say... I mean, all right. This is going to sound so like LA. But you know what I wish we had here? Which is like... Just salads anywhere. Like New York, you can get a salad in any place, you know,
right.
And you put your stuff on it and they mix it up and it's like this perfect salad bowl.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I love...
Custom salads. There should be more of that. Have you been to, what is it, Mrs. Winston's Grocery?
No, what is that?
Oh, get ready to get excited.
Where is this?
Okay, there's a couple locations.
Okay.
They're mostly on the west side. So for me, I use that as like, I can't believe I have to be on the west side right now. I'm so depressed, but I'll go to Mrs. Winston's.
It makes it better.
The salad bar there... okay, is like the entire span of this long store. It like winds around. Everything you could ever imagine putting into a salad is in that salad bar.
No way.
From like the like fresh salmon to that, to like, you know, to chicken, to this, to tofu, to this, to like every legume you've ever seen, to every sprout you've ever seen, to every nut you've ever seen. I mean, it is a salad mecca.
Whoa.
Frankly, it is a salad mecca. It's very popular, and I'm excited for you to check out Mrs. Winston's. This podcast was sponsored by Mrs. Winston's. It was not. I wish it were.
Mrs. Yeah. Winston's.
Mrs. Winston's.
I'm totally so going to check it out.
Okay, tell Thank me when you. To stop. I'm going to make the spiral, and then that's what I count off of.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right. Go. Stop.
She saw that I was down to a dot. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Oh, no, is that too many?
No, I'm going to make it work. I'm going to put it on pause. I invite you to pee if you need to.
Oh, I'm good. Okay.
I got to get through this math.
Oh, I made it. And then I'm going to
reveal your future, which is most certainly coming true.
Okay, good.
All right. You've got a pretty wonderful future.
I'm really excited to hear
coming
it.
Coming at you. It's a little disparate, so I'm trying to figure out where to start. That is what happens to me every time I do this. First of all, I want to congratulate you on your shack that you've got on the moon.
Oh, thank you.
It's hard to imagine. First of all, there's never going to be an apartment on the moon, because that implies that like suddenly everyone lives on the moon.
Right,
which they
don't,
because this is an imaginary world where just you live there. Second of all, a mansion, that sounds like too complicated. You need the simplicity of a shack for the moon, because I'm really just trying to polish up this idea of you getting stuck with a shack.
Well, I think
it's simple. It's humble.
Yeah, it's you know what? And if you're going to be like looking out onto the world and space, you might as well keep it simple.
It's all about the view. It's not about what's on the inside.
That's so true.
It's like a shack of windows.
Can it have a pool?
By all means.
Thanks.
By all means. By all means, you have a pool shack. No question about it. So that's really cool. If you get tired of your vacation spot on the moon, I welcome you also to zing down into a miniature ski slope diorama.
Awesome.
Where you can flutter around with the fake snow, which is very cool.
I feel like I'm winning like something amazing right now. I know. This is so
like,
great.
It's like all the contests you won back then, but you didn't even have to like call in a number. You just had to show up at my house, which is actually a lot more work. I want to also congratulate you on your ability to, you know, I love this image. I love the image of Kate sitting in her shack on the moon playing the violin.
Oh, wow. Right? That's pretty great.
It's kind of wonderful.
I'm so glad I know how to play the violin now.
And here's what. It's a good thing you have a pool on the moon, because you have a polar bear. Now.
Oh, perfect.
Let's revisit, because this is very white to me.
It is.
You have the ski slope, you have the polar bear, and you have the moon. I'm intrigued.
I kind of something going am on very there. Inspired to paint this picture now. Like,
I
for real.
Would very much encourage you to do so.
Because that could be really... I'm going to...
It's very evocative. You can really picture
it. Yeah, I'm going to do this illustration and I'm going to send it to you.
I'm so excited about this. And we have a Pinterest account so people can see it there, and they can see it on the Facebook page too.
I really like this really idea. Awesome. Okay.
Breaking away from that for a second, I want to let you know that when you talk about this illustration that you're going to do, I know that your best friend Keith Herring is going to be really excited.
Yeah. Keith.
You won, Keith. And your boyfriend, Elijah Wood, with his adorable teeth.
And his DJ skills.
And his mad DJ skills, is also going to be super on board for this illustration that you're going to do. He'll probably take you out to celebrate to the grassy knoll. This is what I like to imagine. You guys go on a picnic to the grassy knoll. He opens up the picnic basket, and inside is some of your mom's famous spaghetti.
Oh!
And you guys eat spaghetti together on the grassy knoll and let conspiracy theorists come up to you and entertain you, and that's the entertainment for the evening.
You know, this sounds like the perfect day. Not so much the flying kites and pancakes as much as this right here.
That's what you got. This is your guaranteed future. This is what is on its way to you.
I mean, this makes me so happy.
It makes me so happy to make you happy, Kate. That's really what this podcast is for. And that's it. That's the podcast. So thank you so much for doing it.
Oh gosh, thanks for having me. This was really, really fun. I didn't talk too much.
So much great stuff going on. If there's anything that you want to tell people, no, please, no. If there's anything you want to tell people other other than that they should certainly be following you on Instagram and on Twitter. I don't know how much you can talk about upcoming projects, but I'm very excited.
I'll just say that Garfunkel & Oates will have a new album out hopefully in early 2014.
Early, like maybe you do a Sketchfest show to celebrate. Some
I think I think that would be awesome. We're working on the album and a lot more. I'm working on a polar bear moon painting.
I heard about that.
Yeah, it's
really
gonna be
excited to see that.
It's taking a while, but it's
Yeah. I'm excited to show you to discuss my.
You have a polar bear painting
there,
right there.
There is actually something that we'll I'll tell you about offline. But
oh my gosh.
But thanks again for doing the podcast.
Thanks
guys.
For having me.
Thanks for listening, and I look forward to hearing from you soon. Goodbye. As always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.